Last time on Oz Hour.
Oh. Last time on Oz Hour. last time on Oz Hour. Ruggedo is a little fucking bitch. And he complains and complains and complains enough that everyone's like, let's give him another chance. Even though we've given him hundreds of chances, especially where he forgot everything and still was able to live and still became horrible. Okay, anyway. What else happened? Everyone's there and they're like, yeah, sure, he's fine, blah blah blah, okay, let's all go. And then everyone starts disappearing because apparently Ozma has been here the whole fucking time, listening, taking notes, getting all the information, and she starts sending people home without telling anyone. And then what happens? And then Shaggy is there and he's like, I don't want to go to Oz because I made friends with this girl that I like. Oh yeah, Polly left. Polly's gone. Polly's away. He's like, no, I have to stay with Betsy. And then everyone's like, no, just bring Betsy with us. Ha ha ha. And Dorothy's like, yay, I get a new playmate because our girl Ozma's just too damn busy. Then they all live happily ever after. The end.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 52 of Oz Hour, the only place where you can hear everything you never knew about the wonderful and strange Land of Oz.
That's right. With the help of some alcohol, we will be discussing each of the 14 books in L. Frank Baum's Wizard of Oz series.
Today, we will be beginning Book 9, The Scarecrow of Oz, covering chapters 1 through 3.
We're your hosts, Blake Stone
and Wyatt Swanger.
And joining us, as always, is our resident Oz initiate, Hannah Aguirre.
Is me. Hannah.
You got nervous at the end, but that was pretty good.
We were all just like waiting for you to say something
else. I just spat in my mic.
Hannah, you just played last time on where you recapped the end of book 8, TikTok of Oz, but who cares? You did fine. It's a new book, everybody. Also, speaking of, as usual, Hannah did attempt to summarize the entirety of our previous book, TikTok of Oz. It took at least 2.5 minutes. It might have been more. We forgot to time her. Stay tuned after the episode for that treat.
That's a win.
Before we started recording, Wyatt went ahead and whipped up some cocktails. What are we drinking?
Tonight, we are drinking the Whirlpool, which is a briny mixed dirty martini.
Dirty martini is my number one favorite drink.
Yes.
And it's my least favorite drink.
Well, notably, this was stirred instead of shaken in order to give it a Whirlpool thing. I think that might make it worse.
James Bond would never.
No.
All right. Let's slurp. Bitch acting like she's never eaten an olive before.
I haven't.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. I have.
That's good.
This is actually pretty good.
Book 8, The Scarecrow of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Published in 1915. Twixt you and me.
You did not say you were going to do. We did not agree on him doing that.
Twixt You and Me is the name of the foreword. So before chapter one, like, L. Frank Baum just takes a minute to explain something that actually is pretty helpful, just so you're aware what we're about to read.
Yeah, because he knows people are about to be confused.
Yeah.
Wait, say it again.
So it's, there is the name of.
Sorry. Say everything again. Go back to the top.
Okay. So Twixt You and Me. Sorry. So no, the name of the foreword is Twixt You and Me. And in it, which means betwixt, it just means between you and me. And all L. Frank Baum is saying there is that he says, hey, all of my fans, like all of my these children have like written into the post office or like written to me through the post office and said that they really like these two characters named Trot and Captain Bill. Cap'n Bill.
I was going to say Cap'n Bill.
Cap'n.
Crunchitize me, Cap'n.
Yeah, and he's crunchy. But so children have been writing in saying, hey, we love them. We'd love to see them in Oz. And so he's basically saying, like, I finally decided to throw them into the Oz books. So here is that book. So it's just good to know when, as we get into this, most of the kids reading this book apparently would have known who these characters were from other books. It would be like watching The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody And then Raven Simone is on it, and you're like, oh, I know who she is because I watched everybody, or That's So Raven. Yeah. Not everybody.
Writing the author and asking for a crossover is crazy.
Though. That's all they could do back then.
It's like, hey, will you put that girl from The Lovely Bones in your next book? will you put Gone Girl in the other one?
Like, yeah. I really liked Oliver Twist. Can you throw him into
like in a Christmas story?
Yeah.
Like, or not a Christmas carol.
What the hell? Yeah.
But anyway. Just so that's who these characters are. It's you don't need to know that going
there's
in.
There's some
but
L. Frank Baum cartoon characters, yeah. Basically.
Okay. So it's just kind of interesting. So that's that. That's the whole foreword just between us. There. Chapter 1. The Great Whirlpool. The namesake of our drink.
Yeah. Namesake of our drink. So we begin with Cap'n Bill and Trot. Mm-hmm. And from Twixt You and Me fame.
So they're yep. the mains.
Yeah. So, here. Well, maybe. Okay. So where they are is on a hill overlooking the ocean. So they're like up on like a little kind of cliff kind of deal.
That's where I want to be.
Not this. Not like they're, this.
Okay. Well, they're sitting under a tree looking out at the ocean. We learn that like Cap'n Bill is like this old man with a peg leg. And Trot is this very little girl. I'm picturing like a 2-year-old, but I honestly don't know.
Given what we learn about her in the first 3 chapters, I would say she is not 2 years old. I know, I'd say she's like 8. Like
L. Frank Baum 8. Just keeps making her sound so little, like she's smaller than Dorothy when we meet her. And I'm like, okay, so they're like, it's a sailor and a baby, and they go on adventures. Like, I don't know. But they're staring out at the ocean. They've been faithful companions for years. Cap'n Bill's taught Trot everything she
it's
knows.
It's giving like that. What's that show?
Flapjack.
Yeah.
It is, I was about to say that.
It will be giving you Flapjack. The entire time.
I kind of love that. I like that show.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is, it is that. And it gets weird too. not like that though. But yeah, they're like, Cap'n Bill, like, is this like, he's not super old. Like, he's like bald, kind of grizzled. But yeah, he's missing his left leg. He has a wooden replacement leg. And it's like pretty good. Like, he can row a boat and he can like walk around on flat ground. But he can't, like, work on a ship anymore. Like, he can't climb the rigging and, like, do whatever. So, like, now his only thing in life is that he's, like, Trot's companion and, like, protector, basically. Yeah.
And when he lost his leg, it was, like, at the time that Trot was born. And I guess, I don't know if Trot's mom, like, runs, like, a hostel or something.
It's like a boarding house.
But ever since then, like, he pays Trot's mom like $5 a month or something, and so that's how they became friends.
Yeah, he lives there.
He's raised her.
Yeah.
So Cap'n Bill and Trot, they took to each other immediately. They've always been best friends, and they've had a lot of adventures. L. Frank Baum tells us, yeah. Which alludes to they're in other books.
Yeah. Okay. When he says that, it's like, okay, there must be others. And I wanted to
marketing.
Read. Right? Yeah, seriously.
That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana. we learned something crazy about Trot, though.
Yeah, and this is probably something that happened in one of the other books, but we do learn, it is said that when she was born, the fairies were there, and they marked her forehead with a strange symbol so she could see and do wonderful things. Yeah, so something pretty crazy to say, like,
yeah,
and it doesn't really come up
like a fucking pentagon. Like, I'm gonna say, or wait, no, what's the
a pentagram?
A pentagram, not the pentagon.
They fucking put the pentagon on her forehead. So yeah, she's marked by the fairies. They're sitting under a tree now, and the tree they're sitting under, it's at the top of this high bluff, and there's a path that zigzags down the hill to the water. And down at the water, Cap'n Bill's boat is moored down there. And I'm assuming it's like a dinghy, like rowboat.
It's just like
thing.
A rowboat, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like big or anything. And he couldn't work a big ship at this point.
That's right, he can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And their big plan today is they're going to go and explore one of the great caves that have been cut out of the cliffs in the sea. And this is like their thing.
How fun.
They go explore
yeah,
caves all the time.
Yeah, it is fun. And I feel like, I don't know, like, Cap'n Bill seems like a wise, like, nice guy, and I feel like Trot probably has learned so much doing this, like, practical knowledge and like science knowledge. That's probably, why, but it's crazy.
She seems so smart, but I need you to picture a 4-year-old for me.
Like, I'm not doing it.
She knows too much, but I swear she's little.
But yeah, Captain, I actually really haven't been picturing that at all. I'm picturing it like a teenager.
Yeah,
you're picturing two people sitting under a tree. I didn't told you anything. Okay, but. She does.
You guys
read.
Did say
she,
baby,
she
but
does
I was
read
not
like a teenager.
Baby.
I'm not saying baby.
So they explore the caves really often, and they find them to be a source of continual delight. And Trot tells Captain Bill that she thinks it's time for them to head out.
But he does like what every like old rusty sea captain does. He squints at the sky and then at the horizon, and he's like. Something bad rolling in.
Oh.
Well, he doesn't say that.
Legs creaking today.
Oh, yeah. But he does say, he's like, you know, like, it does not look like it's time. Like, it's super still. There's no wind. There's no ripples on the water. The ocean is like a mirror. It's like scary. There's
he
no gulls.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah. But Trot's like, yeah, exactly. There's no clouds or wind. It's fine. Like, it's fine. And Captain Bill's like, ugh, like, whatever, like, it probably is fine, like, I'm probably just, like, being crazy, and, like, he wants to, like, give Trot what she wants, basically.
Yeah, he doesn't feel right about it, but he just wants to show her a good time.
Yeah.
Because of his wooden leg, he's got a hard time, like, climbing down the hill, takes a little bit more effort, but they finally get down to the boat, and Trot falls into place, she knows what her job is, she starts to untie the boat from its mooring, Bill pulls out some candles and matches and sticks them into one of several pockets in his hat.
It's in his jacket.
In the big raincoat. Okay, it was unclear to me because I was thinking it was like, what do they call it?
A sou'wester.
A sou'wester, which I was thinking the jacket, but then it just, I feel like some of the language of the book kept making it sound like hat. So I'm fine with it being jacket.
And so the thing that Cap'n Bill is wearing right now, they call it a sou'wester, which I think is like supposed to be like a, like accent of Southwester, because it's like a trench coat. Think like what you'd wear in like Red Dead or something.
You know,
like
the
long cowboy coat.
It's quite specifically like the yellow fisherman one though. Like the guy on the fish sticks box.
Yeah,
it is. But yeah, and it's oil skin, so it's waterproof.
Okay.
So it's like a big coat, and he has so many pockets, and we're told that he keeps many things in these pockets, not all of which, like, makes sense. Like, some are, like, hooks and nails and cords.
Makes sense.
But then there's, like, buttons and empty tin boxes and shells.
Crazy.
Yeah. So it's, like, a good mix, though, and if I had the pockets, I'd have it, too, but... Among the things that are in his pockets now are these candles and matches that I think it just said he pulls out of a crevice in the rock, which I'm like, where do you get those from? And why is he doing that?
Yeah, I have no idea where they came from. But
he knows the land.
He knows that the candles and matches will be useful for going through the cave. So he's like, oh, I'll just tuck those
away. That makes sense.
But they get in the boat. Cap'n Bill rows and Trot sits in the stern and she like steers the boat. And after they get about a mile from shore, which is like roughly halfway across the bay to where they're headed, Trot sits up straight and she's like, "What's that, Captain?"
She sees something in the water.
That's what she's like.
She's like, "What's that, Captain?"
At 2 years old.
Okay, you're right. What that, Captain?
There we go. Oh, God.
But Captain Bill stops rowing and he turns around to look and he's like, that would be an enormous whirlpool. That's what that
oh,
is.
Oh, I forgot.
Huge whirlpool. And Trot is like, what's a whirlpool? Like, how is that made? And then we're told something crazy, which is that the air starts to whirl.
So like the cyclone that brought Dorothy
to
Kansas.
Yeah, I'm like,
and
so
then,
it's a tornado.
But for some reason, the whirling air is what makes the water start whirling. And
I would like to go on the record as saying I do not know what makes a whirlpool happen.
Well, it's just the water currents, right?
I guess so, but why does it...
Down?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Me neither.
But
it can't be the air.
No, well, I just can't... Well. the fact that there's not a, usually a tornado on top of a whirlpool.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And it also is really giving in the first book when L. Frank Baum said that a whirlpool or a cyclone was created when the north and the south wind came together.
But a cyclone and a tornado.
I don't think that L. Frank Baum knows anything about nature, natural nature.
I don't think L. Frank Baum owns an encyclopedia.
I don't. They didn't have those.
I don't think he knows certain things.
Yeah. But he makes it sound really convincing, and it sounds scary. Like when he says it like that, I'm imagining like a whirlpool the size of like a football stadium, basically.
Yeah,
like I'm imagining big. Like they can hear it roaring,
inescapable.
And they do later on. Like you'll like it's big. Don't be thinking this is a tiny little fucking
whirlpool.
Okay,
I was really thinking tiny and little.
Yeah, it's not like a wow. Yeah. No, it's like a whoa.
Yeah, it's like whoosh.
It's like a hole in the earth that is sucking down everything in its path.
It's a vacuum. So Captain Bill is immediately regretting getting in this boat at all.
Oh my God, he did
say things
he
seemed too perfect. Yep.
Felt it. Listen to your gut.
So Trot kind of notices that the whirlpool is getting closer to them. And Captain Bell's like, it's not getting closer to us. We're getting closer to it. It is pulling
us in. Going straight towards it. And we have no exits.
They can't do, it's one guy rowing a rowboat. They're
He's an old man.
With one leg. Which only matters because he would use it to get
balance.
A grip. You know, yeah. And so
that's a third oar as far as I'm sure. Like,
oh my God.
Take it off.
Well, give it to the kid.
Trot is trying to steer them away. Like, she is, like, trying to steer the little rudder so they, like, go the wrong way. But obviously, it's not working. The water is roaring and hissing and whirling. The whirlpool is, like, it's, like, a deep hole with walls of water. And Cap'n Bill's trying to row even harder. And he knows it's not going to work. And then the oar snaps.
Do you know how hard that is to do?
I don't know.
I mean, an oar?
I'm sure it's crazy.
It's gotta be hard.
It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
against water.
Oh yeah.
My God.
And it's so there, that happens. And then they're just like sitting there, like quietly and calmly. And they're just like, we're dead. Like they start to kind of circle the drain and like they're in it, you know?
It's like that one like water park ride.
Yeah. Oh my God.
The one where you're just
get flushed down a toilet.
Yeah. It's exactly that. And they're like, they know they're gonna die. Like they can see at the bottom there's this like dark hole where like it just becomes like a tunnel of like water.
Captain
you know?
Bill
That's
just
hell.
Captain Bill just like throws his arms around Trot and like pulls her close to him as they just go down.
Yeah. And they can't even speak because the water is so loud. And Captain Bill is like, you know, we've like been in danger before, like really bad danger.
Oh my gosh, he's accepting his fate.
Yeah. And well, he's like, I know this like seems like we could not survive, but like Trot has been helped before by things that I didn't understand.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Magic. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's the
What's
fairy
that on
symbol.
Your forehead? It's lighting red.
Yeah, her head is just
God.
But yeah, they both just sit pretty proudly as they're pulled closer and closer to the dark center of the giant whirlpool.
Yeah, and
just straight facts.
Yeah.
And that's that on God.
Yeah.
Period.
And that is that on chapter one, The Great Whirlpool. And Blake, what would you call that?
I wrote this a week or two ago. I thought it was really funny then. Now it feels sad after the way we talked about this. The big gulp.
Yeah, it did turn kind of sad there.
Chapter 2, The Cavern Under the Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that
Atlantis.
Woke her up.
The seaweed is always greener.
No, we should be so lucky.
But will we get talking sea creatures?
Time will tell.
Yeah. I don't even know. I'm not even sure how to answer that knowing what I know.
I know. We just, you know, we don't have those yet.
I know.
Alfred Baum invents the sea creature. So they're not even under the sea yet, though. The boat is getting closer to the bottom of the whirlpool, and it's spinning so fast that, like, they're getting dizzy. Like, they're, they're on the gravitron.
Yeah, and they're, like
they're going to throw up.
They're wondering what's going to happen. They don't know what they're going to do, and then all of a sudden, the boat just kind of goes, and it goes right down the hole.
Oh.
And they are just gulped up.
The boat goes.
Yeah. And they get sucked literally to the bottom of the ocean. It is freezing water. They're holding on to each other.
They're thrown from the boat as well.
Oh, yeah. They're separated from the boat.
Oh, my God.
And they are just getting basically like sunk and pulled deeper and deeper. Like the pressure's mounting on them. And it's like freezing.
It's a very like nice knowing you, love you kind of situation.
Yeah, they both know they're dead. Like they know it. But then they like the whirlpool like pushed them down to like the bottom of the ocean and they've kind of like stopped moving. But then Trot kind of like feels something like pushing them like a different direction up. And she doesn't open her eyes. Like it's like probably pitch black anyway. And for a while, they're going up.
It feels like hands. Like,
yes.
It feels like she's being touched and grabbed. So I'm like, oh, the fairy's in her head.
Yeah. They saw the symbol on her forehead, maybe. And so they feel going up faster and faster until at some point they go plop out the top of the water and they like land on a bunch of sand and they're just in a cave.
Yeah. They're in this cavern. It's like, it feels like they're in a cavern. It's like there's rugged rock all around them because Trot like is like and like pushes Cap'n Bill off of her and is looking around and it's like there's walls and caves all around. Well, not caves all around, but it's they're in a cave all around. And the water is giving off this kind of like blue luminescence that's lighting the
it's
cave.
It's like glowing.
So she can see around.
It's like castle in the sky.
Probably.
Do you remember that?
Is that Miyazaki?
Yeah, there's like a scene where they go underground and they meet this like creepy old man, but all the rocks, when you like, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's like if you break them apart, they will glow.
Oh.
And you have to make sure all the lights are off or else you won't see like the glowing lights.
It's
and that's how you get
like
around
that.
Or something. Or like the Avatar scene. Sorry, I'm going crazy.
It's like something that glows.
Let me tell you all the times.
But it appears to just be the water's like there's light in the water and it's glowing up, I think, is what we're supposed to believe. So
and the beach is made of clear sand?
I thought it was just said it was light colored or like white or something. Okay, I don't have clear.
I wrote clear because I must have read it, but I don't know what that means because like they must see the sand. So I don't know. Anyway, sand, jagged rock all around, glowing blue green water.
Yeah, and at this point, like they're like still sputtering, like they're doing their whole thing, like they're looking around. Cap'n Bill is pretty much just still laying there, but Trot is like, I'm looking for something. She goes up and grabs some seaweed, like off the top of the bank, brings it back down, starts like blotting Cap'n Bill's face and like wiping his eyes
and
out.
And he's like,
yeah, he's like throwing up water.
God.
Yeah.
But he's also like so proud of her for like doing that, like being like, oh, I got the seaweed and I'm like helping like get the water away from you. And he's just like, damn, me and this little girl just survived this shit.
Yeah.
So love her so much.
He can't believe they're alive.
I mean, they really did accept the fact that they were going to die.
Yeah. And so they are like coming to terms with being alive. The cavern is like not very cold. Like it's kind of warm. So like they're not uncomfortable being wet, which is crazy since this is a cavern under the ocean. It seems
like how hot is it?
Yeah. And so they are just chilling though. And, That's pretty much it.
Yeah. And Cap'n Bill's like, hey, we didn't reach Davy Jones' locker this time, but I have no idea how we survived that.
And that would be pretty questionable. I'd be like, where am I?
Yeah. I would think I was dead.
Yeah.
I don't think this is real.
But Trot's like, hey, just like take it easy. You know, we don't know what this place is, but we're obviously safe here. We're the only people here. Like, just chill out. So Cap'n Bill wrings the water out of his clothes. He checks to make sure he still has his wooden leg, which he does.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
If he didn't have his wooden leg and that's like the rest of the story is like, we have to navigate that.
Miserable.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like right before we even know who the fuck this guy is.
Yeah.
He takes a look around and he's like, where do you think we are, Trot? And she says she's not sure, but she's like, maybe it's one of like our caves because that's their thing. They explore the caves all the time.
But Cap'n Bill doesn't think so, because he's like, we went down really far and we did not come back up that far. So we're in an underwater cave, I'm pretty sure. And and they're looking around. They can't see, like, the cave goes in like different directions, like to where it's like black. They can't see it because there's not enough light. Yeah. But like from what he can see, there's no way out. And he's like, I don't know if there's an exit and we might be stuck in
like
here.
The only other way out would to be a scuba diver.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No
and just hope.
The surface
and God, and who knows how long or how far up. Yeah. But so, Trot kind of like looks around and she's like, okay, like let's just rest for a minute and then let's just like climb up around the boulders later and like see if there's an exit, because there might be. And Cap'n Bill just like takes out his pipe and matches, which he had him in like this little like leather box or something, because he always has all these things, and he starts smoking. And Trot is like, okay, he's gonna think he's chilling out. And then yeah, so he's chilling smoking, and they just like dry out a bit while time passes.
So there are these huge boulders scattered all around, and they start to explore, and they start to like move in and out of these big boulders. And after some walking, they find themselves at the like extreme back of the cavern. There's nowhere else to go.
That seems kind of small.
Well, it's like, so it kind of like, it's like the back corner. And as they approach the corner, they can see there's like a hole in the wall. Like, a hole that is pitch black inside.
It's like a crawl space.
Like you put your like arm in it and you can't see your arm. It's so dark. Like it's the and
yeah,
so that's
exactly.
Yeah.
So we're gonna die here. Sounds good to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. That's what Cap'n
no
Bill
one's
says.
Going through there.
Yeah. He was like, that might lead somewhere worse than this. Like this is that's insane. Like that's so scary. Oh my God. What if something crawled through it?
Oh my God. That's
that means that there's like must be so many things on the other side.
Remember, oh, yeah. There's one.
Remember when the Woozy was just like tucked back in his perfectly square hole?
Oh my God.
What if you started
yeah.
curling through that and he's at the end of it?
Ew.
And he like blows fire in your face?
That's right. I forgot about the Woozy.
I know. What was that thing? But Cap'n Bill's like, yeah, that might be a way out of here. It also might be something fucked, so let's just not. And after thinking about it for a bit, they go back down to the beach, they sit down, and Trot is looking at Cap'n Bill's pockets. And she's like, hey, Cap'n Bill, how much food do you have in your pockets? Because she doesn't know what the fuck is in those pockets.
Yeah. And he tells us that he has 6 ship biscuits, which I take to just mean like probably a dense biscuit you would take on a ship when you're like they won't go stale or whatever, probably.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe it is stale and it won't go bad. But either way, and he has a hunk of cheese. And he's like, do you want some?
That sounds delicious.
If you're hungry. And she's like, no, like that can probably keep us alive for a few days if we're careful. I'm not just gonna like eat that right now.
Wise words from a 4-year-old.
Very wise words.
That is actually crazy.
Yeah, but she might be closer to 8.
I'm gonna make her 4 at every opportunity. I'm gonna make her 4. It's like, and then she married her husband and I'm like 4 years old.
God. We've never heard it before.
But yeah, Trot's like, yeah, let's conserve the food. So Cap'n Bill says, hey man, this food can keep us alive way longer than 3 days. Like he doesn't sound confident, but he's trying to like boost her spirits.
Like, well, let's test it out.
Yeah, well, she's like, well, eventually we're gonna starve though. Like like even if it's more than a few days, we are going
let's
to starve here.
Be nitpicky with the number.
Yeah. She's like, remember how you said we can't go through that hole?
Yeah. And he's
our
like,
only
hey,
option is to starve here.
Some things are worse than starvation.
Unless somehow
that's
there's
literally what he
fish
says
down there,
and they're not fairy people, so starving is like an actual concern of theirs.
Yeah. Oh, so far as we know,
fairy people.
So at this point, Cap'n Bill, like the conversation of going to the dark hole again has been shut down, and he's just searching his pockets, and he pulls out fishing line and hooks and he strings them together, and he's like doing his little thing.
Can you make a fire?
Well,
you know,
you just wait.
I know the steps of survival as someone that survives.
You're asking the right questions. Personally, for me, I find the events that are about to unfold a little bit upsetting.
So
I'm scared.
Yeah, it's okay. So Cap'n Bill is like walking around the beach. He like turns over a rock And there are these two tiny crabs, like the size
of
like Mentos.
There are three crabs, and it does not say that they're the size of Mentos. It says there's three crabs.
But what he does is he puts one of them in his pocket, and he puts the other one on the hook. So the fact that he puts it on a fishing hook, I'm like, and he's expecting
a crab on a fishing hook?
Don't you put like a worm?
He didn't have a worm.
He had crabs.
He puts the crab on the hook. Throws the line out, like, it's just his hands to what we're understanding. Like, he doesn't have a rod or anything. And he, like lets it go out, like, lets it sink, and then he pulls it back in, but nothing happens. So he casts out again a few more times, and then the crab falls off. So he puts the new crab on, and then eventually that falls off. So then he has to go get new crabs. So he goes through, like, unknown numbers of tiny crabs.
He does it for...
hours.
Probably like 4 hours.
Because Trot falls asleep. And she wakes up totally dry.
Can they not eat
crab?
Yeah.
That was my next question.
I fucking wonder.
I wouldn't be wasting all those crabs. Like, ideally they can catch a fish, but like...
You have food right there.
But those are crabs.
No matter what size those crabs are, if they each ate 7 of them, they'd be like, wow.
It sounds like a 40 were used. So exactly. That should at least be the size of one.
Yeah. But at this point, though, Trot is woken up, realizes her clothes are dry. So she's like, it's been a while. But it's because she hears a large splash. And she looks up, and Cap'n Bill has a big old fish. Well, it's 2 pounds. So 2 pounds, that's, I think, a pretty big fish. I mean... Like a pound of meat for yourself would be like a lot, I think.
Yeah.
So with fish too, but.
And it took hours and 40 crab.
Yeah. So it's like, what's that even worth? But either way they have it. And so Trot immediately starts gathering up seaweed, and she makes like super dried out seaweed. She builds a pile of it, and Cap'n Bill's like gutting the fish, like cleaning it up and getting ready to like cook. And what happens is actually pretty interesting. I didn't look up if this is like how you would usually do this or if this is actually like feasible. But what they do...
Oh, Frank Baum lives in like Illinois.
Yeah. Well, at this point, he lives in California.
Oh, that's right.
Either way,
he saw
though,
seaweed for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, and he's inspired. What they do is they wrap the fish. Like there's 2 portions of fish, basically. He wraps each of them in seaweed and then gets it wet in the water. Then he lights the pile of dry seaweed on fire, puts the 2 fish on it that are wrapped in wet seaweed, and then puts more like dry seaweed on top. So basically, like, he's covering these things.
It's like cooking your fish
in
foil.
Fire. Yeah, exactly. It's like they're wrapped in the seaweed so they won't burn from the fire, but they're probably like steam cooking and like, you know. So it sounds pretty good, actually. Like, I mean, I'm the dubious thing to me is burning the dried out seaweed because I'm like, how high is that going to burn?
It seems it worked well enough. Like, when it's finally cooked, the fish tastes a little bit like seaweed and it could have used a pinch of salt.
Yeah, and it's like, that's not so bad.
I like the taste of fish.
Well, when you're stuck in a cave in the deep abyss.
Yeah. And when I almost died from that whirlpool, you either need to give me a stiff drink or a pound of fish. And I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
So they eat all their fish each. True. And
they eat all of it?
They eat it all.
Yeah. They eat the
but
whole
they can't
fish.
Keep
well, they
it.
Can't keep
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But the blue glow from the water, it's starting to get more dim. So after they finish eating, Trot and Cap'n Bill, they keep burning seaweed to keep the fire going. Yeah. So that blue glow from the water must be sunlight.
I think it must be sunlight. I don't know how that works, but it's like, I mean, it would be so indirect.
This is like Shipwreck, but... not
you know
Shipwreck.
Too many shows. Don't tell me the plot.
No, I'm talking about this.
Oh, just like in real life.
Yeah, because even Betsy got shipwrecked. Like Dorothy got shipwrecked on the.
I thought
you
were
know.
Like this is like Shipwreck starring Lucy Liu. And I'm like, I don't know why Lucy Liu came to my head.
Let me tell you the whole plot.
But no, it is interesting though because I'm like, okay, yeah, like Dorothy, she makes it to Oz. To Ev by the ocean. Betsy also shipwreck ends up getting to somewhere we don't really learn where, I guess, but
yeah, the Rose Kingdom
somewhere else. Yeah. The Rose Kingdom by the ocean. Yeah. And then now this, which technically was also a tornado, but mainly was...
And who the fuck knows?
And this is more like real life survival, where like when Dorothy was stuck on, like on the island, she had a tree with lunch pails.
We're not in. Exactly. We're not in Ev. Like it feels very real where we are.
Yeah, they're literally on the show Survivor. Yeah, and I will give my full synopsis of
seasons 1 through 47.
You got Boston Rob. You got Yao Man.
You have single Boston Rob and married Boston Rob.
Yeah.
But so Captain Bill, he pulls out a flask of water from his pocket. They're sitting by the fire. Trot takes one drink. Captain Bill takes one drink, like barely wets his lips.
A little swallow.
Like, they are like conserving this one flask of water they have. I'm like, all those pockets. I wish we could survive off of buttons and lint, but we can't.
Yeah, seriously.
So Trot's like, thanks for catching that fish. That was really cool of you. Say we catch all the fish we'll ever need. What are we going to do about drinking water? This is ocean water. So she really wants to go in the hole. He really doesn't want to go in the hole.
Yeah, she's just finding more reasons.
So she's like, so we both just took one drink of water all day.
Like, this isn't going to be our life.
Yeah. So what's the plan?
We can't do this forever.
Yeah.
Like, and no one is going to find them. They can't even, people can't even go underwater
Scream
yet.
Help.
Yeah.
Scream help.
Nothing. Honestly, maybe someone way up on the surface would be like, hello down there. Yeah. Because like the cave could have an exit. It might not just be that one hole. But either way, they need to do something. And
my big concern is tide rising. Some underwater caves are only caves during certain parts of the
day. Yeah, because then they might just...
You know?
That's so
the thing is,
scary.
And I can't get into the physics of it because it's just not worth it. But in order for there to be an air pocket in there, if there's actually no way out... then there can't be, like, the air can never get out, so the water can't rise because the air doesn't have anywhere to go. You know what
I mean?
Well,
they have air to breathe.
So, no, number one, they will run out of air eventually. Okay. But number two, if there is a way to get out, then the water would just rise because the whole pressure of the ocean would just push the water up inside, even if there's, like, cracks in the ceiling.
That's the thing. There would be, like, a pfft.
Yeah, it would be coming. So, anyway, there's reasons why this can't exist. But
right,
it was 1915.
We're in F.
Yeah,
we're
magic.
Oh God, you're right. That's actually a good point. Is the
then why are they catching their fish?
I know.
Tell me why they're catching their fish.
Yeah, why is
yodel
there a fish
for
tree?
Yeah. But Captain Bill, he doesn't answer Trot's question about drinking water, but she can tell he's sitting there thinking about it.
Yeah.
And even though Captain Bill is terrified of the dark hole, he knows they have to go in it. He just doesn't want to right now.
He's like, can I have a minute where I'm not going into a dark hole?
Yeah, we've been going in holes all day, and it hasn't been good for us.
Yeah, he needs his time and space.
I get that.
So it gets late. They both fall asleep on the sand. And when they wake up again, the water's glowing again. It must be daylight again.
Yeah. So they slept for hours. They wake up feeling pretty good. They have those biscuits. So they divide one of the biscuits in half and have that for breakfast. And as they're eating, they hear like the splashing sound coming from the pool. And they look up and...
What do they see?
They see the most curious creature either of them had ever seen.
Woo! Woo! Curious.
First one, everybody take a shot.
Woo!
This creature, I know, it was like just the bottom of my
really
drink
salty.
In particular. So I was like, ah, olive brine. Mm. This creature is neither fish nor beast.
Yeah.
It's like a bird with wings shaped like bowls.
So imagine...
Just giving that monster from Revelations.
this is a biblically accurate angel.
Yeah, it's pretty close. No, it's not, because it's wings.
she tickled herself pink with that.
Well, I actually did not know that term until literally this weekend. Charlie showed me a picture of that.
Oh, really?
Accurate angel?
Yeah. What the hell? So it's just so funny you just said that.
God, where have you been? They've been hot for a while.
Not around any biblically accurate angels. I've never seen those.
God.
So you're not going to be writing any books anytime soon. But this thing, so yeah, explain the bowl-shaped wings. It seemed like you were ready to do that.
Yeah, so like it has four wings and they're on its back, but they don't really look like wings. It's like a dinner plate, like our dinner plates are Fiesta wear, knockoff, but like covered in leather.
They're genuine Fiesta wear.
Oh, I thought they were knockoffs.
No, they are knockoffs. It's just like Fiesta Wears already nothing to write home about. Just
genuine. You're the one. Just doesn't matter. So it looks like a dinner plate covered in leather and attached to the body by like a little like connector. So it's like a paddle almost.
What were the gargoyles from Dorothy and the Wizard and Oz?
Yeah, with the wooden wings. Yeah, it, like, those like it weird things.
It like snaps on like that, like Legos. Yeah. Oh.
So, but it's like an animal. Like it's leather. Like it's like skin. It's not leather. It's like just dry skin.
So no feathers, just tough skin. Wings like bowls. Four legs, like stork legs.
So they all have like little claws at the end, like little talons. Hands. Yeah. And it walks on all fours, and it has the head of a parrot with like the hooked beak, but no feathers except for one like scarlet red plume at the top or like a little bunch. Yeah. And
it's a showgirl.
I'm kind of scared.
Okay,
it's weird.
So yeah, it's like stumbling out of the depths. Like its wings are like on the water.
It's
and
huge.
Yeah, it's like the size of like a it's like bigger than a deer. And
it's an elk.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like big as an elk. And Cap'n Bill and fucking Trot are like, they're watching it and they're like, this is crazy. And actually, like. We're afraid of that. Because if that thing starts like, going crazy on us, we're dead.
And it's like struggling out of the water, too. It's like...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. No.
And
the four-year-old needs to get out of there.
Yeah, no more four-year-olds.
Honestly, I'm throwing the four-year-old at that
thing. Like a football.
God. But, so they're like starting to kind of like get nervous about it. And it's coming out of the water at them. And that is the end. Of chapter two, The Cavern Under the Sea. And Blake, what would you call that?
I would call that Crabs for Fish.
Oh. Chapter three, The Orc.
This creature is standing on the shore, dripping water, staring at
He's called an
them.
Orc.
The Orc?
Well, we don't know yet. But it appears very surprised to see them. Trot whispers that she wonders what it is, and it says, "Who, me? I'm an orc." So,
yeah,
it is
okay.
The orc.
No, we saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trot's like, "What? What's an orc?"
No, that's not how she says it.
No, she's a baby.
She says, "I'm sorry, please. What is an orc?"
Good luck. Good luck following that Hannah and this verse, because we're going to be doing it the whole time.
Oh my God.
But she's like, what's an orc? The orc is like, I am. So the orc says it's very happy to be out of the water, back on dry land. Cap'n Bill, not interested in this orc.
Yeah.
At all.
I would feel that.
But he's just trying to be nice, see where these things are going. And he's like, oh, you've been in the water long?
Starting small talk.
But the answer to that question is crazy. We learn that the orc has been underwater for about 10 minutes.
Oh.
Which is 9 minutes and 60 seconds too long for comfort.
Yeah, it says it's so funny. It has a personality. It's good to hear, though. So that's crazy. It was underwater for 10 minutes, but it tells them it all started yesterday when it got caught up in the whirlpool.
Oh, you were in the whirlpool too?
And he's like, yeah. Like, I was in the whirlpool. Like, I just said that.
Actually, before the beginning of your sentence interrupted the middle of mine, that's where I was going with that.
Yeah, literally. So he's like, so why don't you calm down? And I'm going to talk. So he's sassy, but he also knows what he's talking about. And he's like, I saw that whirlpool. I was getting curious about it. And then I got sucked right into it. And he would have died, except a bunch of mermaids swam by, carried him back up, and deposited him in some random cavern.
Do you remember when Cap'n Bill and Trot felt those hands moving them out of the way of the whirlpool?
Yeah.
Oh, my. They were the mermaids?
They were mermaids. Yeah. Can we have seen them, please?
I know.
Yeah. I want to see what fairy world mermaids look like.
Yeah. And apparently they're nice. They're not like Peter Pan
mermaids.
Yeah,
they're not like, hey!
No, they are. Well, they're sort of nice, but they also put the orc and also Betsy and Cap'n Bill in underwater caverns with no way to escape and no way to live.
Yeah,
so,
they were put in completely different caverns.
For all we know,
so
they might
be
just be watching
million.
Them while they sleep.
Oh, true. So if they go in that water, they can maybe end up somewhere else.
But maybe so that's the scary thing. Would
move them.
Because the orc is like, okay, so I'm getting ahead of myself. So Trot says, oh, so like you were in a cavern just like this one. And he's like, well, I really hope not, because the one I was in had no exits and we'll all be dead because I was stuck in that cavern. I slept and then I dove into the water, swam around, could not find anything else, scraped my back up. A sea monster chased me. And now I found myself here.
I was wondering if there's going to be sea monsters. Yeah.
Mermaids and sea monsters. We won't see any of them.
Where are we?
It's crazy. Thankfully, the orc is in their cavern now. They're all together.
Yeah.
It's purgatory.
Seriously.
The orc is like, anyway, that's my story. Can I have some of your food?
Yeah. And Captain he's Bill starving.
Reluctantly gives up a biscuit for the orc to eat. Yeah. And the orc holds the biscuit like in one of its front claws and like nibbles it like a parrot.
Ew.
So like it's a weird fucking creature.
Ew. Yeah.
Crumbs everywhere.
I'm like, is it? Now they have to feed this thing too.
Exactly, and they already had six biscuits and some cheese.
He was find some food. Yeah. He was in the water for
can
10
he
minutes.
Eat crabs?
I mean, he could probably eat crabs.
I think everyone there can eat crabs.
They should all be eating crabs.
I mean, they could probably eat.
I'd be having
two.
I'd be having two. Oh. Two crabs. Yeah, sorry, but that two orc. Crabs on a biscuit with a little bite of cheese.
Oh my god! Yeah, melt the cheese down over the fire.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm.
Get it a little caramelized.
Why aren't we eating crabs?
I know.
I'm gonna go to an island.
What? I'm stranded in a cave. I can have food poisoning today. I'm eating a little bit of last night's fish on my sandwich.
Like god, yeah. I'd be like, oh, there's crispy skins. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, they eat in silence for a while. Trot points out that she's never heard of an orc before and asks if there are a lot of orcs, which is a good question because this thing's freaky.
Yeah. And he says there's not many.
Yeah.
But where he's from, they're the fucking bosses and they run the land and they rule every plant to every elephant, everything.
Hannah, ask me where he's from.
Where is he from?
Orkland.
Yeah, which I think is kind of, I don't know yet.
Is it Oakland?
I think it's Oakland.
He lives in, because Elfrinkbaum lives in Hollywood now. He lives at Oscott.
Yeah,
in
he knows like other cities.
Yeah. And I'm like, is that like a reference? Like, I don't know if there's something we're supposed to get from that or like that adults would get from it, but I'm interested to see later if we learn more about the orc. So, yeah, but that's where he's from.
They ask where Orkland is, and the orc's like, I actually don't know because of another crazy thing, which is that he's always had an adventurous nature, and he's always flown far distances to explore. And the orc, whose name is Flipper,
never comes back.
We're never going to call him Flipper, actually. I'm going to call him Flipper moving forward, because the book just says the orc. But his father told him, Flipper? It's dangerous to explore so far, and that in some parts of the world, there are creatures who walk on two legs, and they're called men, and they will war with any other living thing that they see.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And Flipper's like, I want to see some men, which, same. So
is this giving, what's that movie, the Brother Bear?
It's very Brother Bear. But so Flipper finished his schooling and he left home without saying goodbye and took to the skies.
Which he really regrets.
Yeah, he wishes because he's lost.
Yeah, he like rambled way too far across the globe. Can't fucking find his way home. He's been trying to get back for months.
Yeah, he's fought feathered birds and airplanes.
Yeah,
to get here.
Everything. But now
that's
he's done.
Weird that you have those two things.
Yeah. Well, and he explains that he's seen people, like he's seen men. He found them
from the sky.
Yeah, he's never been this close to them before. But like, so that's like he's entered like our world somehow. He's gone through
the
veil.
He went to Oakland.
Yeah, he went to Oakland. It was like, is it close? Yeah, across the bridge. But he's like, yeah. So now, like, I've been searching for my home for months, and then I got eaten by the whirlpool, and now I'm here. And after they've kind of heard his story, like, even Captain Bill is like, okay, like, he's pretty nice. Like, he's smart. Like, I'm not afraid of him anymore or, like, suspicious. Like, he's just kind of, like, weird to look
at. It's super weird to look at. He, like, sits on, so, you know, he has the four legs. He, like, sits on the back, too, like a cat. But then he, like, uses the front two, like, hands.
Yeah,
like,
little claws.
Just doing things with his hands while, like, sitting on his haunches like a cat.
Yeah.
That's not made by God.
God did not make this. No. God said...
God said, I missed one!
Yeah, oh, my God, seriously. But we haven't even gotten to the strangest part of all. the orc's tail.
Oh, my God.
Oh, great.
It's this mass of muscles and bones. It's all twisted up, and it looks like a propeller.
What?
And it can just twist and twist and twist.
Yeah,
and twist
it just
and twist.
Twists it's a propeller, in his body.
But it's
yeah.
body.
And uh-huh. Cap'n Bill knows mechanics, and he's like, you must be a fast flyer.
Yeah, he yeah. worked on a ship. He knows a propeller.
Yeah, and the orc says, king of the skies.
Sweet ass sugar cane.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're kings of the air. They have small wings, but the propeller pushes them forward, so everything works out. And the orc is like, all right, I ate my biscuit. I'm going to walk around, check this place out. And while the orc isn't looking, Bill and Trot both sneak like a small little drink of water from the flask so that they don't have to share it with him.
Mm-hmm. oh, you know, God. I have the note that the orc walks around and they drink water, but I didn't even think about it being to hide yeah. it from
like,
him. But you're right.
Hiding it from him.
You're right.
And the orc goes to the back of the cavern. And he's like, hey, there's a hole back here, guys. There's an exit.
Yeah. And Trot's like, we know.
And the orc's like, okay, so let's
What's
go.
The deal?
Yeah.
Well, have him go first.
Well, so right? he sticks his head in, and he's like, oh, I smell like air. It smells fresh. Like, this can't take us anywhere worse than here. Like, there's just no way. Like,
you
like,
might as well.
Yeah. So the friends come over and, like, join the orc, and they're like, hey, like, you know, like, we were actually thinking about exploring this. Like, when you arrived, like, we were kind of coming to terms with that and, you know, realizing we'll have to. And at this point, Bill is like, oh, I'll light a candle. Like, then we can look around and see what's in there. But there's a problem with that.
The orc's never seen a candle before.
Yeah. And it's seen an airplane.
He's yeah, what the fuck?
So I'm just realizing that now.
And he's very nervous around the candle and the lighted match. And he's like, okay, like, I get that we need light to go in the hole. I totally get that. What the fuck? Fuck is a candle.
Yeah. He's like, is it dangerous? Because it looks dangerous. And Cap'n Bill's like, well, it can burn you. Like, you know, yeah. and you know, it can go out.
The worst thing it can do to you is go out when you need it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so they shield Cap'n Bill lights the candle, he shields the flame with his hand, and he goes into the hole first. It's really only big enough to crawl at first, but after a short time, thank God, it becomes big enough to stand.
Yeah. Because
I think while Cap'n Bill's crawling with his peg leg, he's probably like, oh my God, no, yeah. no. And he's in the front.
What?
Well, he's like,
we can't put the four-year-old up there. Right?
Yeah, he's leading the way. And so it's like, if he decides he's had enough, he needs to convince the orc to turn around too. Like,
oh my God. Yeah. Telling the orc to push it into reverse.
Yeah.
And he's going to be like, my joints don't go that way.
Sorry,
my
joints don't do that.
My wings are stuck. What if the orc's wings are stuck? Oh my God. Yeah. reverse propeller.
So once they're standing up, they realize it's like this big long tunnel, and they move through the tunnel for about half an hour, and it like twists and it climbs and it drops. And then Cap'n Bill, he's still leading the way, and he like stops, and Trot's like, what's going on? Like, why are you stopping? Because they can't see around him. It's still kind of narrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she asks if it's a dead end, and it's worse than a dead end. It's this cliffside precipice, this like perfect edge of rock that if they kept going, they would go right
over
it.
They would have died.
Oh my God.
But there is kind of like a little like ledge, so they can all like come out on the balcony kind of deal, you know,
yeah.
and see it's this big shaft. And they line up on the cliff, and they're like, sure enough, this is a giant ass cliff.
It
like,
is
we can't see down.
So dark down, the candle does absolutely nothing.
Oh my yeah. God.
And the orc is like, okay, I admit this doesn't look very promising.
No.
However, I can fly.
Oh, yeah.
So why don't I go see what it looks like?
Yeah. Then he says he'll take the candle, which
so
is like, okay.
The candles, they got about half the candle left. The orc goes, like takes the candle and he goes down. He's like drops and they're watching the candle go down, 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 down. And then it's like, and the candle's gone.
No.
And the orc's like, what the fuck did your candle do?
Yeah. And they're like, it's the wind. You have to protect it. Like, it just went out because of the wind because you were just going too fast. And he's like, how would I fucking know that? But whatever.
Yeah, maybe you should have given him a heads up, some instructions. Especially since he was flying.
Yeah, he's a wild animal who you gave a candle. Like, you I'm have sorry, to tell him
when
more.
You handed it to him, did you not, like, cover the flame with your hand at that time?
Yeah.
Maybe he thought that telling him the worst thing it could do is go out when you don't want it to was enough of a warning.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Like, he didn't
That's
know all
enough.
The different ways. That he's like, and you, also, you also have to he's keep like, giving it oxygen and fuel.
Yeah,
like,
go out. What? So they relight the candle. And the orc is like, okay, I'll be careful this time. So this time he's like, his propeller's going and he's kind of just like slowly descending down and down and down and down and down until they can almost not even see him. It's just a spark. Oh, and then he goes zoop, off screen. Left. They can't see him anymore. Like, he must have like turned a corner.
Oh.
And he's gone for good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess you
he
guys
found
are
his
stuck
way
on
out.
A cliff.
And they also don't have a candle now.
He's like, so long, suckers.
Yeah.
Just kidding. In a few minutes,
I would jump.
They see
the I'd be like, what's. I'm well, done. You would hate doing that if you once you find out what's at the bottom.
Oh, no.
So all of a sudden, they see the candle coming back up. The orc is coming back. And he's coming back, like, kind of quick. And when he's, like, almost back to them, he's like, and like gets what? To the ledge and is like flapping his wings like crazy. He's like, oh my god,
what?
They're like, what happened? He's like, it bit me, it fucking bit me, it bit me.
Yeah, he says that the candle got smaller and smaller until it was almost like gone. And then it turned around and bit him on the hand.
The candle?
It burnt him.
Yeah. Yeah. Captain Bill's like, that's just how they work, man. When, like, it's going to bite you.
When I was reading this he came back screaming, it bit me, I was like, oh, here we go.
It's happening.
Yeah, sea monster.
Oh, my God.
No, just the candle. And Captain Bill's like kind of laughing at him. And he's like, dude.
Yeah, because he's fine.
But he's like, he's just what never been did you before. See down there, orc?
Yeah, let's get or other flipper. Information.
So Flipper the orc says that at the bottom of this tunnel or this like shaft, there's this huge black lake and it's
black
really
cold water.
Yeah. Just freezing water down there. It's really giving where the Horcrux is hidden in Half-Blood Prince.
Yes. You have to
I'm
keep
not
going to
say anything because it might be a spoiler for people like Blake who have only read the book
I
recently.
I just read the books, listeners, so if you want to DM us about it, please do.
Yeah, let but do know. Not spoil for others. But anyway, there is a black lake, and it's like that. He's like, it's this huge lake, like, it's just like, it's down there, like, so, you know, you couldn't jump because it's so cold you'd die. So good thing the orc is there, because he can fly them around, and he offers to fly them there.
Yeah, which is excellent. He's big enough for them to fit on. So,
but only one at a time.
Yeah, one at a time. Captain Bill's like, all right, I'll go first. So he lights a candle for Trot to hold at the top of the cliff, because I think we failed to mention that they had to have a candle at the top so the orc could see where he was going.
Oh,
back.
To get back to them. Ugh, isn't that... What if they forgot? If they just didn't think of that, and the orc gets down
and
turns
like,
around,
help!
And he's like,
and he
drowns. Where are you guys? Lost. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Don't.
So Trot has a candle that she's holding at the top so that the orc can find his way back. Bill's going to go down, keep his candle. Orc's going to come get her. Also, how bright are candles? I guess
I'm like, as I'm thinking about this
well,
more
it's
now,
pitch black,
I've never been true. In like complete darkness like that, I guess.
But like at the top of the tunnel where Trot is staying, it's like down a tunnel and then out onto the lake to where the shore is. So he has to go the orc has to go like around a corner. So I don't know how he gets back. Maybe the uncle or not the uncle,
Bill.
Maybe Bill stays in darkness on the shore. And then I guess
this is literally scary for everyone.
Yeah. Oh
like,
yeah.
Bill's alone at the bottom. Trot's alone at the top. Orc's alone everywhere. Like,
yeah. It's not scary. Fun.
Alone in pots have been lost.
But Captain Bill crawls on the back of the orc and his stick leg is like poking straight out.
Yeah.
Like, all right. And the orc is like, okay, if you start to fall off, just clasp your arms around my neck. And Captain Bill's like, if I start to fall off, it's good night and pleasant dreams. I'm not getting
yeah,
like,
I'm a dead
done.
Man.
I give up.
Yeah.
So Captain Bill's nervous as fuck, but he's like, go.
And they
let's get it over with.
Yeah. They jump. They start buzzing down.
It's giving Oregon State Fair fair lift. As soon as my feet left the ground, I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, why was that the scariest thing we've ever done in our entire lives? It's supposed to be fun.
Oh, God. Well, Captain Bill might have some fun on his journey down. Probably not, though.
It's a shockingly easy ride. The orc is a great flyer.
Yeah.
And so Trot is like up top, very nervous, alone on a cliff above a lake with black water below.
Yeah.
But she's like, I'm brave.
Yeah. I'm patient. I'm just waiting.
I is patient. I is kind.
Yeah.
The orc comes back, thank God, very quickly, honestly. And he tells Trot that Captain Bill's safe and sound in the tunnel below. And he's like, okay, get on. We're going to go to Captain Bill. And I was like, why are you telling her that her friend is safe at the bottom? I don't trust you anymore.
Yeah. He just dropped Captain Bill in the water and came up to him. Oh, my God.
It's very much giving those commercials where it's like, yeah, your mom said that I need to pick you up. And they're like, I don't know you. Get away. I'm not getting your car. But she does. She gets in his car. She gets out of his head and into his car. And the orc carries her down. It's super easy. Bill's there with his candle. They're all chilling.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, now we're on the bank of this huge lake. Maybe we should rest for a minute and like let the orc rest because he just did so much work. And the orc is like, I'm fine. I could literally carry you guys around for days. Like, I just want to keep moving. Yeah, he's like I'm good.
I think you forget that I flew here from Orkland. And they're like, we don't know where that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't actually change anything.
But there's a huge tunnel that's down there, like on the bank. Like it goes like out somewhere. They don't know where, obviously. And so that's kind of their plan. That's their really only option, I guess, at this point.
Okay.
So they
at least they're somewhere else.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got a new tunnel.
Progress.
No light, so we lost blue water, and now we're in dark tunnel, but tunnel seems more promising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they're walking, it's a really easy pathway, and they walk miles and miles for hours without any change to their surroundings. Mm-hmm. It's just a tunnel, and it almost feels man-made.
Yeah.
And after a long time, Bill is like, I need a break. And he's like, he's having a very similar feeling that he had when they were sitting up on the cliff. And he was like, the water's too calm.
Yeah. You know,
he's like, he's getting nervous. He's probably having flashbacks to when he lost his leg and we just don't know it.
Oh.
Yeah. And his daughter that Trot reminds him of.
Shut up. You don't know
that. That must be a crazy story.
I know. Maybe it's in the previous books or the like other Trot and.
It's just like a workman's comp.
You got me. I guess we're doing a side quest.
We have to start Trot and
Captain Bill
books.
4 more years of Oz Hour.
It's never going to end.
God. So they're stopping to rest. Captain Bill's like, there's something fucking weird here.
They've burned three candles. They have three candles left.
Which is so scary.
No sign of an end.
And Trot, I thought this was smart because Trot's like, okay, like let's just blow out like the candle because we can walk in the dark. Like it's pretty, like it's an even tunnel, like it's fine. But
it's been the same thing, I guess.
But Captain Bill's like, well, if there's another cliff, like that one we came up to at the other one.
No, he's right.
I know. Because I literally, same as you, I was like, oh, yeah, like, why not just edge across? But then I'm like, oh, and then you, like, there's a drop off to another black lake and then you're dead.
Yeah,
like,
there's no
scary.
Way.
Scary. But thankfully, the orc is there and the orc can fly. So he's like, hey, if I fall, I will scream. You guys stop moving and then I will fly back up to you. So it's fine. Like, I don't have any fear of falling.
I guess that's true.
Unless there's jagged rocks, like, 5 feet down
yeah,
before
like just
he can
huge
realize.
Stakes. But either way, he can scream.
Yeah, and they'll know. So
yeah,
they'll be fine.
So they agree to that. I think it's a pretty swell idea. And they continue along in the darkness with the orc leading the way. And Trot and Captain Bill, they're not using candles anymore. So Trot and Captain Bill are holding hands, following the orc.
Pitch black. Just like you don't know where you're... the worst thing would be not knowing if the cavern was getting slowly smaller and smaller. Mm. Like, oh, God.
Yeah. So, and there's like things on the walls.
Ew, yeah. And they can see you.
There's like little creatures just like...
Oh, my God. Gnomes everywhere.
Gnomes just crawling around the rocks like Return to Oz style. So after they go on for a while, the orc stops and is like, I need something to eat. And Captain Bill's like, fuck. Because he was intentionally not mentioning food.
Yeah, because they have so little. They're down to three biscuits and a lump of cheese. Mm. And the lump of cheese is like the size of two of his fingers.
And they don't have anywhere to fish now.
Yeah, no, they're done.
Orc crab.
So Cap'n Bill gives the orc half of a biscuit. The orc doesn't like cheese, so Cap'n Bill and Trot split the cheese that's left over. They light a candle and sit down to eat, and the orc is like, dude, my feet are killing me. Like, I'm not used to walking like this. The ground is just, like, so uneven and rocky. And Trot's like, can't you fly? And the orc tells her the ceiling's too low.
Yeah.
So apparently they are in a low-ceilinged cavern, which, no thanks.
Yeah. And so they're like, whatever, like, we'll rest, like, in a little bit. And they continue walking. But, like, Cap'n Bill can tell that Trot is getting super tired also because, like, she's only, like, between 4 and 7. Like, he looks at his watch and he's like, okay, like, it's nighttime on the planet Earth. So, like, let's just stop and sleep for the night. Like, it's time.
Cap'n Bill lights a match so he can look at his watch. And I'm like, all you know is it's, like, 10 o'clock. You don't know what 10 o'clock it is. Does it matter what time it is if you all are tired?
Yeah. I guess that's true.
Don't waste a match.
That's true, too, because he doesn't know. Yeah. I mean, but he's not going to run out of... He will run out of candles before matches, and so maybe it's, like, whatever. But the orc is also glad to rest because he's, like, been limping the last few miles. But he hasn't been complaining. Like, he's just, like, he's been hurting, but he's, like, I'll keep going.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Cap'n Bill's, like, his foot hurts. Like, he only has one. And the orc is like, well, I have four. So, actually, like, it's way worse for me.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, orc, you're kind of right, maybe. But it's not the same.
And Trot has two, and she's not saying anything.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's so widow.
But, like... Trot's like, maybe you have corns. And Orc's like, orcs don't get corns. And Trot's like, well, maybe you've got those...
What's corns?
Bunions. You know, like corns on your feet?
No.
It's a kind thing.
Of like blister, like callus kind of deal,
like
I deep. Think.
Like you have to get them like surgically removed.
Oh, really?
Wait, I don't know what corn is. Maybe I'm thinking of bunions. Well, they're like, do you have that? And the orc's like, I don't know, man. All right.
Only hot girls have that.
But finally, like, Cap'n Bill's just like, dude, I get it. Your feet hurt. We're all tired. Nobody's having a good fucking time right now. And you keep eating my food.
Yeah.
So why don't we all lay down and go to sleep?
Getting a little pissy.
Let's not think about our feet right now.
Mm-hmm. The orc is like, okay, like, well, are we going to eat now or are we just going to starve?
Well...
Yeah, and Cap'n Bill says, hey, there's a half biscuit left for each of us, so I think you should save that for later. And the orc is like, I want the biscuit now. Like, if I'm going to starve, I'll do it all at once and not, like, by degrees.
Well, you're not which the only I'm like, person here.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it's his half. It's his last half.
He can do what he wants with his half, but so, no one's giving them theirs.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, so he eats his half, and then Trot and Cap'n Bill, like, keep their share.
Trot doesn't want to like embarrass Cap'n Bill for being like, you should really save your half. But she like leans over and she whispers to him and she's like, I kind of want my half too. And so like he's like, I'm going to give you like part of your half. But what he does is he breaks off half of his half and gives it to her and keeps her full half for her for later.
No.
And he doesn't eat anything.
Oh my God.
And he's barely had water either. Like he just like wet his lips.
And he's not about to drink water in front of that orc.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Greedy
yeah.
ass orc.
Yeah. They need to do that in the dark. But so yeah, so they're like settling down though. The orc and Trot like both fall asleep, but Cap'n Bill like stays up and he's smoking his pipe. He's thinking of what to do, and he's like, we cannot keep going like this. Like it's like he's starting to get freaked out about Trot because she's so little and like she's going to die. Like
she's hungry.
There's no way. Yeah, exactly. It's starting. And so he's just stressing out.
But
that
if
night.
She dies, they need to eat her before she starts to like rot.
Before she dies, they kill and eat the Trot. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because
like as soon as Trot goes, eat her.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously.
She's done.
But eventually Cap'n Bill falls asleep too. And after a while he's awoken by the orc because the orc like woke up and like stretched out and like kicked him. And Cap'n Bill just like wakes up and he's like,
that orc is really testing some people.
I know.
He's giving phonograph.
Like, they'd be dead. The thing is, though, the orc is giving an essential service because as a flying beast...
They wouldn't
beast,
be this
oh,
far.
True.
Yeah, they wouldn't have made
true.
It down the
they
shaft.
They wouldn't have made it down the... Yeah.
Yeah, they would have... Because they never would have jumped. Like, they just wouldn't have.
Cap'n Bill wakes up and he's like, guess it must be another day.
Yeah. And there in the dark is where we end chapter 3, the orc. And Blake, what would you call that?
Winging it.
Ooh.
Thank you for listening to Oz Hour. Please join us next time as we continue with chapter 4, Daylight at Last. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on our Instagram and TikTok at Oz Hour Podcast for the latest on everything Oz. Oz Hour, created and hosted by Blake Stone and Wyatt Swangham. Co-hosted by Hannah Aguirre. Audio production by Charlie Johnson. Theme music written and performed by Rudy Klobus. Cover art by Valentine Lucas. Last time on Oz Hour.
Okay, last time on Oz Hour, we open with new people, Anne, Sally, and the Oogaboos. And they realize that they want to conquer the world. So Anne's like, okay, I'm going to gather an army of men, all the Joes, every single Joe that plants whatever his last name is, you're coming with me. No wives, no women. And they go, they also go, who else goes? Joe Files, who he is a crazy person that has guns and other things and books. And then they go and they're an army now. And then what else happens? Oh, yeah. Then Betsy is on a boat with a mule and they both get flown off the boat. And what do? They're in the boat. They're going. They land. And they fall in front of these roses with faces. And all the roses with faces are just there. I don't really remember what they do, but they're there. And there's a another person that's in charge. The he's the gardener. He's the gardener. And he goes, he says, you can't be here. You're not allowed to be here because it's illegal. And they're like, okay, well, we don't have anywhere else to go. And then the shaggy man drops in and he's like, actually, I have to find my brother. So let's go. Oh, there was crazier shit that happened too with Ozga. Oh, yeah, they plant. She goes, something happens. I don't know what. But then they have to pluck a flower because they were like, we need someone else to be in charge now. So they pluck Ozga, the princess rose flower thing, whatever. And then they take her with her because everyone's actually pissed about it and hates her. And she just is born into this life of hatred. And so then they leave and that's their little gang. They all go to go find Shaggy Man's brother. And then they are on their way to, oh yeah, it's the Ruggedo is the one who has his brother. So they're going to him. They're going to the mountains and they go to the mountains. I'm like, oh, how much time do I have left? Zero. Oh my gosh. They go to the mountains and then they get stuck in a tunnel and they go somewhere else that's like really, really far. And then they meet new people and then the dragons take him, or a dragon takes him, and he's like 1,000 years old or something. And they go through the tunnel again and then they run into Ruggedo. And then what else happens? He tries to torture them and kill them. And they're like, no, you're not going to do that. Actually, we have this thing called the quack and he has eggs with him. And the eggs are actually shooting at you now. And so you got to go. So Ruggedo goes. And then he comes back because he's like, I want gems and things, and goes back to the forest. And then everyone's at the forest because that's where Shaggy's brother is. And then they go there. They save him. He becomes beautiful again from kissing every girl there for some freaking reason. And then what else then they just kind of do their thing and they just leave, and that's what happens. And I'm done.